I'm Nick Spitzer. Our program's about musicians from here and beyond performing or influencing the Jazz Fest over the years. Coming up, our interview with saxophone colossus Sonny Rollins, and we'll hear the late Duke Ellington, who performed his New Orleans suite for the first ever festival in 1970. But let's start with one of the city's greatest musical heroes. The late Creole piano man from the Ninth Ward, Antoine Fats Domino, 1953, on American Roots.
Yeah.
Duke Ellington with his composition, Thanks for the Beautiful Land on the Delta, from his New Orleans suite. Duke Ellington long had New Orleans Creole musicians in his band, like Barney Bigard, clarinet, and Wellman Bro, bass. On the road, they cooked red beans and rice with gumbo for the orchestra. And Ellington saluted those players in the New Orleans suite. The master tenor saxophonist Sonny Rollins has been at it over half a century. Sonny's performed at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival since 1977. Sonny was born Walter Theodore Rollins, 1930, and grew up in Harlem. His brother and sister were classically trained musicians, but Sonny turned to jazz early. By his 20s, he was playing tenor sax with Bud Powell, then Miles Davis, Thelonious Monk. He has long traversed bebop and cool with a strong melodic sound. From sonic social statements to sweet remakes of popular songs, Sonny absorbed it all in his youth, from the radio and movies to music in his household.
My mother had a lot of these Caribbean records, so I heard a lot of Caribbean records at home. And my mother would take me to some of these Caribbean dances, so I heard it there. But generally in the neighborhood, I heard more mainland jazz, you know, people like Fats Waller and so forth.
They have a new expression along Old Harlem Way that tells you when a party is 10 times more than gay.
Is there a connection between those early days and your love of those kinds of stage performers in the popular, jazz of the day?
Yeah, I think so, Nick, because when I listened to Fats Waller on the radio, it gave me such a feeling of beatitude almost.
The piano's thumping, the dancers are bumping, this here spot is more than hot, in fact the joint is jumping.
Then, of course, when I heard Louis Jordan and that great band he had, the Timpani Five, and he was playing saxophone, and I loved the saxophone. So it was all sort of laid out for me, really, at an early age.
This ain't no jam, the jam can scram. Baby, come on and knock me a kiss.
I was born in Harlem proper, which was sort of the lowlands. And then we moved up on the hill, which was sort of a upscale area. And all of the top people in the black community lived up there, W.E.B. Du Bois, Thurgood Marshall. I used to see him. A lot of great jazz musicians. Duke Ellington lived nearby. And Coleman Hawkins, my idol on tenor saxophone. He lived right around the corner. So
what a neighborhood.
It was fantastic. Yeah, it was fantastic. Plus, I like the way Coleman Hawkins always carried himself in a very respectable, dignified manner. And that appealed to me a lot because I was sort of a socially conscious guy by dint of my grandmother, who was a big Garvey and Paul Robeson follower. And as a kid, we would march up and down Lenox Avenue, you know, with our rallies for Paul Robeson and so on. So, you know, as teenagers, we would watch all these guys. And as I look back, it was a great, great place to grow up in.
You mentioned Paul Robeson being in the neighborhood. And if we fast forward up to the recordings right after 9/11, Without a Song, you are, in a sense, digging back to that, but bringing it up to a current moment, a very emotional moment in American life.
Right. That's a reference to Paul Robeson. Right. He did that song. That song stayed with me, and all those songs stay with me. I mean, you know, all the movies that I went to, and the radio and movies, which was the media in those days. I am a guy that can bring out old songs, which I do often, much to the consternation of my musicians.
Yeah, your movie repertoire is amazing. I really loved when you did the Western stuff. I'm an old cowhand.
Right. Movie.
You can connect to modern jazz and cowboys all in one moment, which is a remarkable thing, I think.
Yeah. Well, to me, it's all Americana because I grew up going to the movies, and I would spend a lot of time with my uncle, and he'd take me to these cowboy movies. And boy, did I like that. So, you know, the whole Western thing was part of my growing up, really.
Talk about the frontier of bebop. You're growing up through a moment when you've got Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie, obviously Miles Davis and Monk. What's your first memory of Thelonious Monk?
Well, I played with on a little job in Harlem. The bandstand was up over the bar, you know, one of these really small places, and Monk played opposite us. Later on, of course, Monk was one of the people that expressed a liking for my work, encouraged me a great deal. He was one of my teachers, really. I'd learned a lot from playing with Monk.
Recording Bags Groove with Miles Davis, and you're there in 1954. I wondered about some of the songs of yours that came out of that recording session, ones that became other people's standards, which is, you know, puts you out front as a composer.
Well, the ones that I myself composed, Doxy and Olio and Arigen, the things I did with Miles, I really can't put too much credence in myself. I guess I have to consider myself a composer of sorts. But I'm a guy that takes a lot from other people, other places. Occasionally I can hear something. I said, well, gee, that sounds completely original, but who knows, it probably isn't. I probably heard that too when I was a kid. One of the things that I'm most proud of in my own life that I was able to heed my own counsel. Even now, people say, why do you practice? You know everything, you know, this kind of stuff. But I'm seeking something higher. So that's why I practice. That's for today. But in life, I'm also seeking because I've been through a lot in my life. And I was able to stop smoking and stop drinking, stop using drugs. All of those things were very important to me. And they showed me that there's something inside, your inner voice. You have to listen to it. And it's in music. Music is the same way. You know, I get glimpses of it at a time, and it's beautiful.
Sonny, what is it you would like to continue to seek? What do you still hope to improve upon?
Well, you know, I have a feeling that our great music, jazz, has still an important part to play in the evolution of humankind. And I'm involved in trying to create jazz which will further that along. Trying to reach the music myself, just in my own musical creation. There's things I'm still working on, my lost chord. I'm still seeking that. Mm-hmm. And as I get it more into focus, the whole picture comes into view. You know, and I'm grateful for whatever success I've had, of course, but I see more for me.
Honest Sonny Rollins with Some Enchanted Evening, recorded live at his 50th anniversary concert at Carnegie Hall in 2007. Coming up, more music and musicians from the Jazz Fest and a romantic song about New Orleans sung by Billie Holiday and Louis Armstrong when American Roots returns.